This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. Today, Sarah Caudwell, VP of Customer Experience at Dovetail, is going to be talking to us. Now, I know that their focus is on taking research and turning it into actionable insights. The research specifically that we're interested in hearing about is customer research. Now, she may call it customer research, but I call it just talking to the customer, finding out what they're saying, and taking recorded conversations and turning it into actionable insights that we can use to create a better support system, a better product if we hear product feedback, anything that we can do to improve, whether it's a small group of people in a focus group or whether it's one-on-one conversations with customers that we are supporting. Lots of opportunity to learn from customers and take action. Now, before we get into the interview, one big announcement, and if you have been listening to the show, you know what it is. If you've got any question or if you've got a great story you want to share, please reach out to me on any of the social media channels. I am everywhere. And if it is a question, use the hashtag AskShep. I'll answer it there in the social channel, here on this podcast, in my newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, or on my TV show, which is Be Amazing or Go Home, and you can find episodes on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Roku, and you can get all of the episodes at beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv. All right, let's jump into the interview. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited for a couple of reasons. And first is, we're going to find out a little bit more about Dovetail, but then I'm going to throw something at you that I know you and I talked a little bit before the show as we prepped, but I know something about you that is, I think, fantastic. It's fun. I think our audience is going to love it. So I'm going to leave a little intrigue out there. But first, Dovetail is a company that takes basically conversations that a company will have with their customers and synthesizes them into reports, basically data that we can all understand, grab insights from, learn from, and then hopefully improve the experience as a result of what we learn. How'd I do?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Our mission at Dovetail is to improve the quality of everything, which is an extremely ambitious mission. But the way we think about doing that is helping teams of people build things that their customers really love. And the way that we do that today is by taking a bunch of unstructured data that people have within their organization, consolidating that, making it really easy to understand, and then produce those insights so that teams can build products that people love.
All right. Since the average person probably does not understand what unstructured data means, give us that definition.
Yeah. So it can mean a lot of things. It's sort of intentionally vague because different organizations use a lot of different types of things. But a good example would be, and sort of the most traditional example would be, a research team within an organization that does conversational research. So they'll reach out to five of their customers to find out, what do our customers think or feel about this part of our experience. Once they've done that, there's actually quite a bit of work and craft to getting those conversations into an insight that the company can use to make a really good decision. And so we think about that raw data to insights journey of, how do you take a conversation, turn that into a transcript, get themes out of that transcript that make sense in the business context, and then be able to bring that back to the organization in a way that makes sense to them.
So that's one-on-one interviewing. It can also be done in a focus group.
Sure. So really what we're doing is just taking the data that's been recorded. So you could upload a Zoom with a whole group of people or just one person. Really what you're analyzing in Dovetail often are the transcripts of that conversation that you've had. So you could even think of if you were doing some secondary research, for example, on customer experience, and maybe you wanted to use this podcast, you could take a recording of this, upload it to Dovetail, we would transcribe it, and you could go through and highlight aspects of our conversation that you think are relevant for someone else within your organization.
Could a contact center record a call with a customer, upload it to Dovetail, and Dovetail analyze it, synthesize it, come back with data? And that way, we can scale this out across hundreds, thousands of customers potentially.
That's a great use case and something we're actually working on in terms of more high volume channels. Mm-hmm. So things like call centers, but also just tickets. I look after the support team at Dovetail. Some of our most meaningful insights about how people are experiencing our product are going to happen in written conversations in tickets.
Yep.
So looking right now what it looks like to actually pipe all of that data into Dovetail and be able to pull insights from that channel.
Yep. So how do you feel about tickets versus traditional call and talk to an agent right away?
Yeah, this is it's a good question. I think that it depends on what problem you're trying to solve essentially for the customer. So with something like a traditional B2B SaaS, I think that having a ticket and a written conversation so that that context remains within that thread is great. And I think is meeting the customer's expectation and their needs. Call centers, obviously, we're going to up the expectation on the customer side. It is frankly rare in SaaS that you have something that you truly need to solve in the next minute. So we try to do a great job of just providing people with enough information over the tickets and generally think that meets customer expectations and helps us really nail it.
Yeah. You know, I love that. I do think of when I, of a SaaS program, I was involved with the CRM, you know, similar mm-hmm. to, it wasn't Salesforce. It was another company. I won't mention their name. Had a problem. Something just wasn't working. And basically I was shut down and I submitted the ticket mm-hmm. and they told me they'd be back to me in 24 to 48 hours. And I'm going, okay, so now I can't work for 24 to 48 hours, which is why the ticketing system for me, I get it. Some things don't need to be taken care of right away. I just need to learn to do something or get something tweaked. But when it comes time to, I need it now, the ticketing system doesn't work. Is there a workaround for that? In your opinion, should companies be offering another level of service that allows somebody to get instant information and help?
Yeah, the way I would reason about this is one of our values at Dovetail, if we do it, we nail it. And I think that if you're confident that you have the resources and the ability to really nail that experience for a customer, and it's something that's meeting a customer need, and it's something that you think is going to differentiate you in the market, if all those things come together and it starts to make sense for the business and for the customer to prioritize something like that, it's no small undertaking to have a really quality experience where anytime you call a company, someone will answer.
Right.
So for me, if you're in a situation where you can nail it, you know, you've got it set up so that you have 24/7 coverage. People are going to have a great experience. They're always going to have someone at the other end. You know how frustrating it is to call and leave a voicemail and not be sure if you're going to get back to it. And you're getting asked for that by your customers in the market, then I think it's something you should consider and line that up against your other business priorities. But yeah. I think the most important thing is like, if you do it, you nail it. So if you're going to do it, you're going to do it really, really well. I think better to not do it at all than to do it in a way that dilutes the customer experience.
Well, hopefully the experience will take me down a path where I can answer some questions about what my issue is. And that will either set up a ticket or determine whether I need instant support. I realize mm-hmm. that's not something that Dovetail does, but you're the customer experience officer over at Dovetail, and you're providing support to your clients. And I'm just thinking in general terms, not so much what Dovetail does, but you being an expert at what you do, I kind of feel that's an important thing to be able to differentiate. Let me give you an example. I'll use a consumer example. It's Amazon. Amazon will allow you to talk to a rep, but not until you go through certain steps. And then they can determine whether they can help you digitally or help you agent to agent or agent to human customer, you know, human to human support. And I love it that it's very intuitive. You get to a point and eventually it'll pop up. If you're not getting what you need, let us know. And you do. And then you put in your phone number. You don't call them. They call you. And about the time you actually push enter, the phone starts to ring. It's like, is that them already? It kind of surprised me. And it is. So that's a great, you know, digital support. But I would imagine any company can do this and determine whether or not we can go through the traditional ticketing path of a certain type of, you know, B2B especially, or whether we need to jump to human to human right away. So any thoughts on that?
You're making a great point. I think there's two things there. One is that there are times that I actually don't want to talk to somebody. I think the primacy of an in-person conversation isn't always the case. I actually think the most seamless customer experience is to have no issue at all, of course. Mm-hmm. But if an issue arises, there are instances, and we've spent a significant amount of time and energy refactoring our help center, and we look at that over and over again. I want someone to be able to self-serve an answer to a question without needing to interact with somebody from a support team, just because that inherently slows you down. Now, we're always there if you do need help or something's more complex or applied. But I do think that at times, the best customer experience is one that you self-serve you can do from time. So you made a good point there where actually maybe I can get my issue resolved without needing to hop on the phone. And that's to the point we made earlier about customer expectations. Like that's actually a better experience for me. Mm-hmm. Then I think your other point, which we could go down and talk about for a long time, is basically what's going to be the role of artificial intelligence and machine learning in responding these things. So, you know, what's that going to look like and how is that going to change the customer experience? And our amazing head of support, we've had some conversations about how this might change the way we're thinking about scaling the team, the way we're thinking about training the team. It's really exciting. And I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that yet, but it's obvious there's going to be some really interesting use cases there.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to tell the audience what I promised I would tell them at the beginning is that you have something in your past that I know about. You probably know about it too, but you're going, what is it that he's going to be talking about? I'm going to share that with everybody. It's interesting. It's fascinating. And then I want to get your insights on how AI can support us. I want to know why, whether you think AI is going to eliminate jobs, increase jobs or keep jobs the exact same way they are. There's a lot to talk about. We are talking with Sarah Caldwell, the VP of Customer Experience over at Dovetail. This is Amazing Business Radio. Don't go away. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time. And that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position and responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Sarah Caldwell, the VP of Customer Experience at Dovetail. Now, what did Sarah do in her past that prepared her to work with all the people that she is working with today? And that is, are you ready for this? She was a science teacher. I love it. So how old were the kids that you taught?
Oh my gosh. I've taught in a bunch of different formats, but primarily high school. So
yeah, those kids, they're far tougher than dealing with employees.
Honestly, I've seen this with other teachers, not just myself. If you've been a teacher and you've successfully handled the high school classroom, you can do pretty much anything.
Exactly my point. And actually kids are great. And, you know, and it's really fun. I was probably one of those students that, you know, I wasn't a troublemaker, but you know, I had ADD and all that, but I mean, I really tried hard and I really felt bad for some of my teachers who had to deal with me.
Yeah, it's funny to reflect back. I think when you say you're a high school teacher, everyone's got a story about like that teacher. It's a really formative time, isn't it? Everyone has really strong memories and associations. So.
Well, when I was a kid in high school, I went to a private school, and I would say the English department was probably one of the toughest things that I had to go through. And same thing, foreign language. We were required to take 4 years of foreign language. I almost failed every year of foreign language. I was in the half of the class that made the top half possible. You know, D stood for diploma, not just a grade. So, and I was getting C's, sometimes D's, but I graduated. Here's what's interesting. I went to take my college, you know, placement exams. And even though I'd almost failed out of French, which is what I took, I passed proficiency to eliminate that from me having to take, I guess, 2 semesters in college of foreign language. And so, wow, I must have learned something in all that time. And then English, oh my gosh, I ended up, my first draft was always my last draft because it was usually an A or B. They were so hard. And I went back and thought about this. My English teachers were perhaps the most important teachers to what I do today. And I thought I was a failure. And here I am writing articles every week and doing what I do. But anyway, enough about me. This is about you. I just think it's really cool that you did that. I think that's fascinating. Also, this is really something I want to highlight right now is that you champion female representation in technology and events about women in tech and women in customer experience. That's obviously near and dear to your heart. It's in your bio. And I think that's a really powerful thing. I just came from CCW, which is the Customer Contact Week. It happened to be the smaller meeting in Austin. I'm on their board of advisors, and they have, in the last couple, 3 years, really focused on women in CX, and they have incredible programs. And I think it's great because you don't hear, if you look back 5-7 years ago, there weren't a lot of women in tech. And today it's like, no, we're pretty damn good at what we do. And you guys need to represent us, and you need to recognize that on top of it all.
Yeah, I think, you know, tech in general, and I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up here. I've been here a long time on and off. I think there is such a potential, you know, to be unleashed in tech generally, and each of these companies has the opportunity to just open up so much human potential. And so I think finding a way to make these organizations places that lots of different kinds of people can thrive, not just one kind of person, is really sort of the way to fulfill that mission.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump back into business. I want to talk about customer success, because that's something that you had some experience with, not just here, but at your former place of employment, which is Asana. Is that right? You did that. That was prior to here, a couple of jobs ago, another career.
Yeah, that's right. I actually started in customer success and customer support after the classroom. So started working for a very small educational technology company in New York, who sort of took a risk on me, knowing that I would have empathy for the customers that they were trying to serve, who were other high school teachers. So that was sort of my entry into tech writ large, was as a customer success manager serving teachers. From there, I've been sort of adjacent to customers for the rest of my career. So customer success and operations at Asana, and I look after customer success, support, and now customer experience at Dovetail.
So let's define your definition of customer success, because it's sometimes different from one company to the next. So how do you define customer success?
Yeah, I can tell you how we define it here at Dovetail. I do. There's no one definition, as you've articulated, because I think the most important thing is to understand what it means to the customer. And customers need different things depending on the product and the organization. But here at Dovetail, it's really about building and partnering with our customers to ensure that they can understand their customers better. So one of the most fun things about Dovetail and about working with our customers is that we tend to serve research and product teams who are inherently extremely curious. They ask really good questions. They tend to be very thoughtful. And so for a CSM, the relationship is really, how can I help you be better at your job? How can I help really dig in and discover your core needs, and then help build that institutional knowledge alongside you. So for me, it's all about building and perks.
Yep. So for those that didn't get it, CSM, Customer Success Manager. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Sometimes we speak in acronyms. So I get it.
Yeah, catch me every time I do that. It's a bad habit.
It's not a bad habit. It's what we're used to. So some clients that I work with, especially in the SaaS world, software as a service, meaning we subscribe to whatever the solution is, they feel that customer success is, and to, you almost said it the way I understand it, is making their customers successful. You said it for their customers, but they, the way I envision it is they're going to make me more successful with whatever they're selling me so that I could be more successful and help my clients do whatever it is I do. So really, though, it's, I use Zoho as my CRM today. And by the way, I love Salesforce. I use them as well. Big product for such a tiny little company like mine, which is why we wanted something a little bit simpler. But I remember switching to them and getting multiple sessions with their customer success. I wouldn't call them the manager, but a customer success person who made sure that I was successful with the product, with the point that number one, I would like the product, use the product, and number three, not call them with problems that I should know about before I even start using the product. And so that's how I've traditionally defined a customer success. You added a new wrinkle to it, which is we want to make you successful so that you can be more successful for your customers and clients. And I like that.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things for a customer success manager, or the most successful ones tend to do, is to really understand the people that they're talking to sort of in situ, like within their organization, because it's very rare. I've met very few people that wake up in the morning and are like, what SaaS tool am I going to use today? Like, a lot of people don't think that way. They're like, what problem am I trying to solve at work? How am I trying to drive impact within my organization? How am I trying to make sure my department is collaborating well with other departments? These are the meaningful problems that software is supposed to help us solve. So I think really digging in and finding out what the core needs of these customers are, and then matching that to a software solution. It's less about, you know, setting metrics for success that are about how often do you use Dovetail. It's how many decisions did research influence this year? Or what's the, you know, what are the feature launches that you've had this year that have been particularly successful? And then the sort of sub goal, right, is that you've used Dovetail to do that. I think it's a really important mindset shift for CSMs to not simply focus on the use of their product, but how the use of the product then helps their customer be successful.
The way I would describe that is you don't want to be a vendor, you want to be a partner. Is that a good way of putting it?
100%. And I think there is we have a unique perspective on this as well. We actually, one of our customer success managers reformed her role into what we call a research advocate. So she has a research background, and she is so credible and so helpful to our customers that we actually recast her role as supporting researchers specifically. So she spends about 40% of her time on customer-facing calls, doing very specific taxonomy workshops and craft-specific work that happens to be in Dovetail, but is really about how do I become a better researcher. Spends about 40% of her time doing some internal enablement, helping our teams here understand how research works and how to speak to researchers and serve them. And then about 20% of her time advocating for the researcher internally. So her actual title, which is customer showcase, bringing customer research back internally and kind of having that meta problem with Dovetail of how does Dovetail actually listen to its customers and get better at creating our product.
Right. So summing it all up, I would say that what Dovetail does and what every company should consider doing is taking information that they have through conversations with their customers and finding out what their customers really want and need from those conversations. You use the word synthesize, and I'll say summarize, bring it all down. You know, I remember in that movie Philadelphia, where Denzel Washington, and we're going way back, I just love the line, explain it to me like I'm a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old. And it's like, make it easy for me to understand. And if you can do that and help me find ways to make it actionable, then we're just going to be better for our customers and clients that we work with. Did I say it well? Did I summarize it?
Yeah, I know it's all meta when you get down to it. Yeah. And I mean, connecting it back to teaching, right? It's the craft of taking something very complex, distilling that into something simple and understandable, and then helping guide people through it, right? You find that in almost every profession.
Yep. All right. The final question, and I warned you it would be coming. One last nugget of information you want to share with us today. In your role as the VP of customer experience over at Dovetail, or if you just think in general about customer service and experience, give us one last final nugget of wisdom.
Sure. I think, especially given my role serving researchers, I think there was a time when researchers were expected to find out and tell the business what customers like and expect, but things are different now. Customer research is for everyone, and it's something that everyone can do to help everyone in their company learn more about their users and build better product.
I would have to agree. If you do not understand what your customer wants and needs, and if you want to call it research, call it research. If you want to call it customer insights, it doesn't matter. Learn what your customer wants, what they need from you, and recognize their perception is reality. Your perception is just your perception of what you think the reality is. So, Sarah, thanks so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate you sharing your insights and wisdom with us today. It's been wonderful to meet you, and I hope we get to do this again sometime.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We will be back next week. And until that time, this is Shep Hyken, and I am reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.